News Talk Sunday.
Now we're still sort of dusting ourselves down after what an incredible, apparently historic victory, margin of victory. Ireland 42, England 21 at Twickenham. And John Duggan from the Off the Ball team is here with me to look back at it and, of course, head to some big crunch Premier League games later this afternoon. John, good afternoon to you, first of all.
How are you, Amit?
Great weekend. Not many saw this coming. Pundits were very much firmly, and I have to be fair, they were very firmly saying England are going to get this, bookies likewise, but all of them today having to reassess this Irish team.
Well, when I grew up, Emmett, I watched, when I was 9 years of age, England hammer Ireland at Twickenham. Chris Oatey, I remember, scored a hat-trick, and it was just a place that you'd look to see Ireland, an Ireland team go there, and it'd rarely win. I mean, and if we ever won at Twickenham, we'd win by a small margin, generally. A point in 1994, 6 points in 2004. But in the last few years, in the last decade, really, it's been a situation now where we can win at Twickenham and it's not a huge shock or a huge surprise anymore. Yesterday's 42 points to 21 win was a record win for an Irish rugby team at Twickenham in history. And the last time, 4 years ago, that we won there, that was a historical margin as well. So Andy Farrell deserves a huge amount of credit. Look, we as a sports nation, as a small country, we're quite demanding as a public of our teams. We're demanding of our Republic of Ireland soccer team. We're demanding of our rugby team. And we've had unprecedented success. We've won a Grand Slam in 2009, then in 18 under Joe Schmidt. We won a Grand Slam 2023 under Andy Farrell. Won down in New Zealand in 2022 and got close in the World Cup at quarterfinal against New Zealand. And I feel like it was almost back to those days of 2023 when we beat South Africa in the World Cup pool. It was one of those performances that hasn't been there probably for a couple of years from an Irish team, but everybody in that team really delivered yesterday. I was really heartened to see that when you'd be thinking of a back three from an Irish perspective, it would be Hugo Keenan, Mac Hansen and James Lowe. Yesterday, Jamie Osborne, Tommy O'Brien and Robert Balakoon all scored tries. Jameson Gibson-Park gave one of the greatest ever performances from an Irish player at Twickenham in history. He, like Antoine Dupont would do for France, ran the whole show, scored that cheeky try to get Ireland going. And England, who are a country that really relies on the bowl that is Twickenham, the crowd, that kind of empire nostalgia. After maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we're making mistakes. George Ford made a couple of really simple errors, not kicking to touch, mistakes in terms of accuracy in Irish 22, and that gave us confidence. And then the whole team, the scrum maybe had a bit of a challenging day again, but the rest of the team was magnificent. Stuart McCluskey, magnificent.
Yeah, I want to ask about him, because I find it somewhat frustrating that, because he's such a good player, and obviously there was other players in that position, Bundiaki and others before this, but isn't it frustrating to you that we've discovered him so late in his career, 33? Wouldn't it be amazing if we uncorked his potential years ago?
Well,
Well,
it's just down to the fact that you've had Ringrose in there, Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw, and they've just been preferred. And these players, like Robbie Henshaw, has gone on a Lions tour, you know, has been one of Ireland, like was one of the best players in South Africa for.
And how many more years at the top do you think McCluskey could play? How much more is there to come from?
Well, I think that
it is an attritional position.
It is an attritional position, but, you know, with athletes, look, Johnny Sexton went on to wash 38, so you could say, I don't know, but you could say 3 to 5 years.
Could do another World Cup anyway.
Look, ultimately, it's about having depth, and whether that's Aki or McCluskey in the pole position, you're trying to get that all around the pitch. Is it now Keenan or Osborne? Is it Balakoon or Tommy O'Brien? Is it Lower Hansen? You know, you've all these.
See the depth chart.
Depth chart. So, like, for example, and Jack Crowley, you'd have to think, do you give him a year now? Do you say, look, what, Jack, you got the town jersey now, and give him the confidence to go? Because, like, he didn't get everything right yesterday, but on the whole, he was much more assured to my eyes, than George Ford was.
And, John, from your perspective as a noted and longtime observer of the sport and other sports too, did we all get, and I'm saying all of us were, it's a collective sort of a guilt here, but did we all overcook the narrative a bit earlier after the French victory? We were saying this team is done, we don't have the talent coming through, but yet you see the under-20s racking up a very strong away victory. Did we all swing a little bit too into despondency just on that French result?
Well, but it's you see, we were really badly beaten by South Africa in the autumn in Dublin. Like, the scrum collapsed. New Zealand game in Chicago wasn't great. We haven't produced that kind of performance in 2 years. So it did. It was like almost like the band coming back together and a clicking, and everything clicked. I'd like to see us
do it again
against Wales and Scotland, win the Triple Crown. I mean, Triple Crown used to be a major thing in Irish sport. Now it's almost an afterthought. But if we finish second at the table, what you want to see is that sense that we're not a team with our best days in the rearview mirror. And that had been really the sense, I think, since we kind of stumbled over the line in 2024 to win the Six Nations Championship. Now it feels that this could potentially be the start of something again as we try and build. We got a very favourable draw for the World Cup in Australia at the end of next year. That's what we need to be building towards.
And is Andy Farrell staying for the long term? The reason I ask that is Bernard Jackman is questioning, he's saying he's been talking to Saracens.
Well, I don't know if that's if that's true or not, but what I do know is Andy Farrell's there until 2027. You have to say arguably he's our greatest ever coach. But there's nothing wrong with having a challenging public and a challenging media to say, why were we so poor in Paris? Why were we only beat Italy by 7 points? It could have gone the other way. So everything just clicked yesterday. What you want to see is the consistency of that. But also, as I said, it's just great to see, first of all, the old, veterans to come back, like Van der Fleer, Tadhg Byrne, Tadhg Furlong, all came back into the side. James Ryan has been, you know, really good of late. Kenan Darris, like, played for the whole 80 minutes yesterday, had a magnificent game. But then just to see these, bit of pace, Balakoon, you know.
He's a real star.
Balakoon and O'Brien, just a bit of zip in the team. And to have those options is what you want. And then to have certainty around the number 10, I think.
Okay, let's move on to the football later. I know you have two big games here live on News Talk. One of them, both of us have a material interest in, which is the North London Derby between Tottenham Hotspur and Arsenal Football Club. Massive things at stake. Arsenal's league title challenge. Spurs trying to bat away. It suggests they could be relegated. So something has to give in this game. Maybe a draw suits them in some ways, but I mean, something is going to go wrong for one of the two of them here badly. Potential.
Unless it's a draw. Yes. 29 points between them, which is quite remarkable. 58 points Arsenal, 29 Spurs. And for six seasons between 16 and 22, those years, Spurs were ahead of Arsenal in the table. I mean, Arsenal have had they've taken 13 points from the 24 on offer in 2026. They're only 2 points ahead of Manchester City now because City beat Newcastle 2-1 last night. Arsenal just need to cool the jets, calm it down and almost shut down Tottenham today and get a win. Spurs can play with a lot of emotion. It's a North London derby. It's a home game. Igor Tudor's gone in there as this almost like fixer who's come in. And he's done this before at Lazio Juventus where he fixes things quickly and then moves on. But Tottenham have a lot of injuries. I was counting 10 players out either through suspension or injury.
The bench will be very weak.
It will be. And I was looking at the potential benches and Arsenal apart from
now,
the
Now, could Tudor say to himself, if I just even get a draw, that's plenty. You know,
West Ham drawing yesterday, I think Spurs, if they get a draw, don't lose, don't get humiliated, which could happen. Because Arsenal, as much as they've wobbled a bit against Brentford and Wolves of late, they have the ability to put in, as they have done in the Champions League, when they play with more freedom, really, really top performance. So, look, Arsenal should win the game, and I think they do need to win it, but a derby match can throw up interesting things. Our other game we're doing, Emmett, is Liverpool's match away to Forest, Nottingham Forest, who also need the points at the bottom. And Liverpool have, I think, on their day, the ability to beat anybody, and it's just a case of seeing Kinsella return to the form that we saw last season as we get towards the last 3 months of this current season. I think Vertens and Ekitike have definitely shown to me that they will be really good players next season. And Ekitike has done very well this season already. So I'd expect Liverpool to win
that. I'm looking at West Ham in particular. Their fixtures in the next few weeks, they look almost unwinnable. You know, I make the Fulham away.
But they've been playing well. They've been playing well. They won a Spurs.
Yeah, but I just think they're now running into a bunch of fixtures. If they get nothing out of them, they're running out of rope then a little bit. But yeah. Maybe that's me being hopeful.
We're home to Bournemouth last night in the goalless draw. They probably had the majority of the chances, but they couldn't get it done. So if Tottenham could get a win today, that would just relax everybody at Spurs. But Spurs, like this thing about not being too good to go down, Aston Villa, Leeds, Newcastle, all in the last 25 years have been big clubs that have gone down. And it would be a catastrophe for Tottenham Hotspur. But it would be only, the board would only have themselves to blame because I don't think they've run the club well from a football perspective in the last 10 to 15
years. No, what might help them is if they could get some of those injured players back in the next few weeks. You've got Kudus.
Well, Romero will come back after his ban in the next couple of months.
So in a strange way, they have might have a bit of an infusion to come back.
Well, you'd hope that, but they are not too good to go down. They're definitely in danger of being relegated, and they need to have a bit of stability, maybe starting today. Live game and off the ball here. We've got Brian Kerr and Stephen Doyle over at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Okay. So before you go, are you calling at this stage Arsenal or City, or have you been calling one of those all season? Sticking to it, or where is your head?
I actually think Arsenal might do it. Sometimes you're challenged. They're fighting on four fronts. They're in a League Cup final. They're in the Champions League last 16. They're still in the FA Cup and they're leading the league.
Was that wise for Arteta to play what's quite strong teams he has in the Carabao Cup? I mean, Ferguson used to play the second line.
He's only won one trophy, which is the FA Cup, like literally when he walked in the door. So I think silverware is important. I think the key, whatever about the Champions League, the key one is winning the Premier League. But I think even if they go behind City, I still don't trust City fully. De Bruyne and Gundogan have left the club. And they've got a lot of young new players in there. I mean, to be fair to Gehi and Semenyo, have hit the ground running. But Arsenal are having the biggest test. If Arsenal could win the title this season, they could go on to great things. But they just need to believe in themselves a bit more and also take the handbrake off and have a bit more fun with it.
I personally hope they don't do any of those things, but I take the point nevertheless. Okay, thank you very much. John Duggan from the Off the Ball team, bringing us up to speed on all what's lying ahead this weekend. News Talk Sunday.